Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. One of the most popular celebrations in the Jewish calendar is Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights. This joyous festival finds no mention in the Law, the Prophets, or the Psalms. Very appropriately, however, it celebrates God's preservation at a time of crisis for God's chosen nation. Both the historical background and the spiritual implication of this popular celebration are very capably presented today by A.J. Overton, our Message to Israel voice, who interrupts the current series to bring this special holiday broadcast. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings once again, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The seven original feasts God commanded Israel to observe bore assigned significance. Deep spiritual principles were taught, and God's wonderful plan of salvation was unfolded. To these Mosaic festivals, Israel added other holidays in her later history. One of the most popular of these celebrations is Hanukkah. This joyous festival finds no mention in the Law, the Prophets, or the Psalms. It is named, however, in the New Testament. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. Hanukkah's origin stands clear and bold in the history of the 400-year period between the Old Testament Scriptures and the New Testament Scriptures. Hanukkah's beginning centers around the conflict embodied in Antiochus Epiphanes, the vile and godless ruler of Syria, and Mattathias, a godly old priest and the father of five stalwart sons. The revolt that led to the final victory of the Jews over the Syrians began in the little Judean village of Modin, a short distance from Jerusalem. Mattathias fled and resided there after living through the nightmare of the imperial visit of Antiochus IV to Jerusalem with his threatened death knell for Judaism. This conflict left deep imprints on the future course of Jewish history, and indeed upon that of world history. The heroic deeds of Mattathias and his sons, when seen in proper perspective, should be remembered with much thanksgiving by Jews and Christians alike. For had the infamous designs of Antiochus been successful, God-instituted religion might have vanished. The feast of Jehovah given under Moses would have known no fulfillment. One Jewish historian said, quote, "Had the Jewish religion perished in Judea, there would have been no dramatic crucifixion of a Jew in Jerusalem only 2 centuries later." End of the quote. Humanly speaking, there would have been no true Passover lamb to take away the sins of the world. But God is faithful and reserves to himself a remnant. "He that keepeth Israel," the psalmist declared, "shall neither slumber nor sleep." From the time of the Babylonian exile until this Maccabean uprising, the Jews possessed no independent kingdom. However, under the Persian rule that stretched from India to Egypt, the Jews had been given full religious autonomy with the high priest as their representative. Following this, Israel became a part of the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. When Alexander's sudden death brought about the divisions of his empire, Israel was wedged between two separate powers, the Grecian kingdom of Syria and the Grecian kingdom of Egypt. In her strategic location, Israel was caught in the conflicts of the powers of those days. The crisis for Judaism began in the year 169 B.C. The Hellenized ruler of Syria, Antiochus Epiphanes, campaigned against Egypt and won. However, at the command of powerful Rome, he was forced to withdraw. Returning to Syria, he vented his wrath upon the Jews. Entering the city of Jerusalem, he destroyed, plundered, and slaughtered men, women, and children. he determined to eradicate Judaism completely. To dismantle the religion of the Jews, he attacked the Jewish temple, carrying away the golden altar, candlesticks, vessels, and sacred treasures. In a designed display of contempt for the God of Israel, he summoned soldiers to commit lurid acts of immorality in the sanctuary itself. He crowned his blasphemy by the sacrifice of swine upon the sacred altar. In further arrogant disdain, he poured the broth of a cooked pig on the holy scrolls of the law, polluting all as sacrilegiously as possible. Antiochus determined that Israel would be fully Hellenized and absorbed into the Greek culture. This was in agreement with his declared policy that Hellenism should be the absolute standard of all the subject countries of his domain. He thus intended to strengthen and stabilize his position before the rising Roman power. In his sweeping revolution, Antiochus chose to declare himself as divine. His title was Theos Epiphanes, or the Manifest God. He built and dedicated an altar in the temple over the Jewish altar to the chief of Olympian gods, Zeus. Above this, he hung a representation of Zeus bearing his own facial features. It was decreed on the pain of death that Jews must direct their worship to Antiochus, who reigned from Syria, rather than to the God of Israel. For the Jews, this was devastating. They would not worship the pagan deities, nor be assimilated, nor practice the abhorrently immoral requirements imposed. Some apostate priests, however, cravenly submitted to the demands of Antiochus. Many Jews fled in terror to caves and dens. Mattathias and others of the priestly families found a quiet sanctuary in the village of Modin only briefly. For soon troops were fanning out from the fortress at Jerusalem under orders to impel the people to comply. As an act of submission, prominent Jews were to eat and sacrifice pigs. An enforcement officer named Apelles, with his soldiers, arrived in Modin, assembled the Jews, and commanded Mattathias the Maccabee, as the head of a priestly family, to sacrifice and taste of the pig first, with each villager to follow his example. Mattathias refused, and stood in dignity, waiting to be struck down. Suddenly, a prominent Jew of Modin agreed to make the sacrifice and started to do so. Mattathias, outraged, leaped upon him, wrested the sacrificial knife from him, and plunged it into this villager. Before the astonished officer, Apelles, could react, he also was killed. Mattathias' 5 sons, with the other villagers, quickly slew the remaining soldiers. The uprising had begun. Upon the death of the old priest, Mattathias, his son Judas the Maccabee gathered the courageous Jews and, against tremendous odds, led them skillfully in many guerrilla-style battles against the vastly superior Syrians, granting them no rest in mountain or valley. Gaining in strength, they met and defeated the Syrians with God's help in open battle. Entering Jerusalem, the victorious Jews drove out the Syrians and disloyal priests. They cleansed the temple, demolished the polluted altar, and with great rejoicing consecrated the new altar. The date was Kislev, or December the 25th. They heaped together the polluted, though sacred, stones of the old altar in a selected place of the temple. They would await the arrival of Elijah or the Messiah to receive instructions as to what to do with them. Thus Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, or the Festival of Lights, was established. One tradition has it that a small cruse of oil, hermetically sealed and consecrated, was discovered somewhere in the temple. Although sufficient for only one day, it supposedly lasted miraculously for 8 days until a new supply could be properly prepared and consecrated. Thus, this tradition declares, we have the 8 days for Hanukkah. In memory of the victory over the wicked Antiochus Epiphanes, 8 candles were to be lighted in every Jewish household beginning with 1 the first day, 2 the second, and so progressively until the 8th day. During the kindling of the tapers today, benedictions are recited, and the hymn, "Stronghold, Rock of My Salvation," is sometimes sung. Gifts are exchanged, cards and greetings are sent, and festivities are enjoyed. The Hanukkah lights are kindled today from the light called the Shamas, which means servant, a beautiful symbol of the Messiah, the true servant of God. The story of Hanukkah and the story of Christmas needs to be widely told. The glory of the Messiah and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, dims all past victories and glories. It was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and Yeshua the Christ walked in the temple. His discourses did not concern the stones piled in the special place, but rather the stone that the psalmist declared the builders rejected. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The prophet Isaiah predicted about those who would place their trust in him, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." Both prophet and apostle stated, "There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Will you trust him?